I am not a very strong swimmer. I was the guy that when I was a kid and I took swimming lessons, you'd get in the pool and they would say, just relax and you'll float. And I would relax and I'd feel my body start submerging and then I would panic and then I would sink really fast. So, you know, some of you guys may be like very comfortable in the water. I don't panic, but I'm not very comfortable in water. And when Carrie and I moved here, not long after we were married, it was awesome because the apartment we moved into had a swimming pool. And it was warm here. So I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'll get more and more comfortable. So I get in the, we swim almost every day. We're in the pool all the time. And since we're both extremely competitive, there inevitably comes a time where I say, I can beat you in a race to the other end of the pool, right? And now in a normal swimming pool, like in all swimming pools, it goes shallow to deep. So I'm thinking, I can beat you to the other end. Now, Carrie is a good swimmer. She's my wife. She's a good swimmer. She grew up in the water. And not like literally growing up in the water, but you know, she was in the water a lot growing up. And she's a good swimmer, but I figured I'm a guy, I'm stronger than her, it's one length of the pool, I can win this race. So the day comes and you know we decide to do it and we're on the pool and we're standing on the edge, you know, and it's like we're doing the countdown, the you know, three, and I'm thinking, I just need to get that far before she does and I win. So it's like 3, 2, 1, and we dive in, and she does the dive in like you're supposed to. I do the, I'm going to launch myself halfway to the other end of the pool. My arms are flailing. Now, here's her version of the story. Her only version of the story is she comes out of the water, and my knees are like pounding her in her shoulders, and my hands are splashing in front of her because I dived over the top of her. And so she quit, which is a win. But I was motivated because I wanted to win. But honestly, I was also motivated because I didn't want to sink. I needed to keep my momentum going until I got to the other end and could grab the other end of the pool before I went underwater. You know, that's kind of secretly what's in my mind. Some of you guys may identify with that. You may, when you're kind of nervous around the water, you're in a swimming pool or you're in a lake and you're thinking, where's all the stuff, what happens if this goes, or you're concerned about it. Some of you look at it and go, I could swim all day. I love being in the water and I float. It doesn't really matter. Today, though, we're going to talk about what do you do when you're sinking, and not literally, but whether it's sinking in a pool or sinking in other ways, in a relationship with someone, or in your career, or financially, what do you do? Because when we sink, we're sinking when things just keep getting worse, and we can't stop it from getting worse. And today, we're going to look at what do you do when you're sinking? And again, I'm not talking literally, because literally the answer would be like have someone throw you a life jacket, but what do you do when you're sinking in life? And we're concluding this series on miracles in the Bible. Pastor John has taught, and we've talked about several different miracles. And today we're going to talk about one of the most famous miracles that people are familiar with. It's when Jesus walked on water. And even if you don't know anything about the Bible, at least you have that idea of that Jesus walked on water and that means something. And this story is told in 3 of the 4 Gospels of the Bible. The Gospels are the books that tell the story of Jesus' life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first 4 books of what we call the New Testament. And it's told in 3 of the books. And there's little different details in each of them because there's 3 different versions of it. But the story stays really essentially the same. And I want to encourage you to get out your notes. You got this in your program, hopefully. There's places to fill, but also to pull out a Bible. And I think we have some Bibles. I didn't even prompt the guys that are handing them out. We have some Bibles if you want them. We're going to spend most of our time looking at 2 of these versions, the version in the book of Mark and the version in the book of Matthew. And we're going to start in Mark chapter 6, and that's on page 699 in that yellow Bible, if you have it. But this is an interesting miracle by Jesus because it was different than a lot of others, in mostly because he didn't do it for the crowds. The only people that saw this miracle when he walked on water were people who were already convinced followers of him. The 12 disciples, the 12 closest people to him, that's who was the witnesses of this. So this wasn't done to demonstrate widely to people that he had power. This was to demonstrate to believers What do you do when you're sinking? And it comes at an interesting time. The background of it before we go to it. So again, look in Mark chapter 6. The background of it is what had just happened in this story was Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And probably more than 5,000 because they just counted men. But a huge group, and he had fed them, and since he had met their most basic need, they were thrilled with him. They wanted to make him their leader, and Jesus knew that wasn't what he came for, so he pulled back. But that had just happened. And then we pick up the story. It's in Mark chapter 6, verse 45. So Mark 6, 45 through 52 is what we'll be reading. It appears back here, but you'll look even smarter if you're reading it out of a Bible. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples, the story says, immediately, so he has done all this, he's fed the 5,000, says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. Okay, now Bethsaida, this is key to the story, Bethsaida, they're on the Sea of Galilee, which is in northern Israel, this huge lake, actually. Bethsaida is just 2 hours up the coast, so he's sending them on a boat to go just a couple hours north to this town. They could hug the coastline and get up there. So he tells them that. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. So they go ahead. He says, I'm going to go pray. You guys go up ahead. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake. Okay, so they were going to go up the coast. Now it's nighttime and the boat is in the middle of the lake. Nowhere near where they're supposed to be. And he was alone on land. Jesus was still on land. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night. Now, fourth watch is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So it's the early morning the next morning. They've been out there a long time. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I, do not be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. They hadn't understood the lesson they were supposed to learn from before. So this is an interesting scenario, because how did they get into this storm? Jesus sent them there, right? He said, go ahead, go up the coast. He's God. He knows what's going to happen. He sends them ahead. He goes and prays for them. They get in the middle of this storm. They're stuck out there. And what we're going to look at today is, what can I learn about, what do I do when I'm sinking, when I'm in a storm and I am sinking? I'm in a storm of my job went away and I can't find another job and I'm sinking. I feel like it's getting worse. I'm sinking because I'm in a relationship and I feel like I'm working on it to make it better and it feels like it's getting worse. Or my health, I'm doing all the stuff and every time I go back they find something else wrong with me or there's more bad news. Or my money, I'm trying to do all the right things and I feel like I'm sinking, like it's getting worse and worse. And Jesus gave us this story, or not the story, Jesus showed this example to teach us what to do when we're sinking. And today we're going to talk about two things mostly. One is, what do I do when I'm sinking? Which is kind of the real direct application. What am I supposed to do? I'm sinking in whatever this area is. What do I do in it? The other is, what's God doing when I'm sinking? What is Jesus, in this case, what is Jesus doing when I'm sinking? But right before we get there, I want to just go through 5 quick things that are on your outline. 5 signs that you're sinking. Now, you may know you're sinking. You may be fully aware that you're sinking, but sometimes we're not really that aware. We might be thinking, am I sinking or am I treading water or am I slightly? Here's 5 signs that you're sinking that we all see, that we see in this this story about Jesus. Number one is, I can't see my way. When I'm sinking, I can't see my way. I don't know what's going on. Think about how dark it was for these guys. There was no electricity, so there weren't even any cities lit up on the coast. It was the middle of the night, in the middle of a lake, in the middle of a storm, which meant there was no clouds, or there was no stars, there was no moon, and they were getting pounded by waves. They couldn't, that's probably darker than anything we ever experienced, because we live in a time when there's almost always some kind of light somewhere on the horizon. It was pitch, they couldn't see their way. And when we're sinking, a lot of times, man, we don't know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I can't see what I'm doing. And you see in John 6:17, it says, by now it was dark. That's kind of an understatement for these guys. It's 3 a.m. in a storm. And a lot of times we just can't see. I can't get any. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm sinking. What am I supposed to do? I can't even see. I have no idea. That's one sign. Second sign that you're sinking is that I feel like I'm on my own. I feel like I'm on my own. There might be some other people around me. I feel like there's not, and especially I feel like God is nowhere near me because I'm sinking. If God was in this, I wouldn't be sinking. Things wouldn't be getting worse. They'd be getting better is what we feel like. John 16:7, the second half of the verse says, Jesus hadn't yet joined them. So those guys were out there away from Jesus, who was their leader. And as far as they're concerned, he's off somewhere, maybe walking up the coast. They're in the middle of the lake. Sometimes we get in trouble and we start sinking because we make a decision to pull away from our relationship with God. Sometimes we sink because it's something we do, but sometimes, you know, this is a story where Jesus sent them, but they felt like they were alone. And when we're sinking, we feel like, man, I am alone. I don't have anybody around me. The third thing, I feel like I'm out of my comfort zone. I know I'm sinking when I feel like I'm out of my comfort zone. They were in the middle of the lake, which means they were the farthest possible point from any coast. They probably just wanted to get to any beach. They didn't care if they got to Bethsaida where they were going. Just get me out of the water. Get me to a safe place. Maybe where you are now, maybe you're this great recession has put you in a place that you were. That this was not where I was planning on being. This is not my comfort zone. By now, I was going to be doing this and this and this and this. Or in this, where I am in my marriage. Or I wanted to be married by now. Or I wanted to have kids by now. Or I wanted to follow this dream I wanted to be somewhere now, and now I'm way out of my comfort zone. I'm nowhere near where I'm going. And that's when we know that we're sinking, we're out of our comfort zone. The fourth thing is strong forces are against me. I know I am sinking when strong forces are against me. All three of the passages that describe this storm talk about it. In Matthew, it says that we were tossed around and battered by waves, and Mark says the wind was against them, and in John it says the waters grew rough. The Greek word for this storm that's used in the Bible is megas, which is where we get the word mega. This was a mega storm. Now, the Sea of Galilee is located in the north end of Israel, and just above it is a place called the Golan Heights, which you've probably heard of just from the news, from all the Middle East, you know, conflict. And the Golan Heights are these high, it's named Golan Heights because they're very high. They're these mountains. And the Sea of Galilee is several hundred feet below sea level. And they're very close to each other. So, you know, what happens when you mix really cold mountain air and warm below sea level air? It creates these great winds. That's why, I just left my area of expertise. That's why it's windy in Fairfield, because there's a huge mountain in Vacaville. And but anyway, it does create wind. I mean, it creates these big storms. And this is a big storm. This wasn't just a mild storm. Remember, I don't know if you remember this from last week, Pastor John talked about it, at least 4 of the 12 disciples were fishermen. And that they were like freaking, they were out there and going and going and going. They were in a really uncomfortable place because these strong forces were against them. You might be in a mega storm where you're worrying about this and things just keep getting worse, and every time you think it's as bad as it gets, something worse happens. You're in a mega storm in your life, and you lay awake at night and think, is it going to ever get better? This storm just keeps battering me. We know that we're sinking when we can't see our way. We feel like we're on our own. We're out of our comfort zone. These strong forces are against us. And the fifth thing is, and to me, this is the best definition of sinking, I'm struggling, but I'm failing. When you're in a boat, you're sinking when you can't bail out water faster than it's coming in. You're doing your best. You're doing your best, but you're still sinking. And it says in Mark, they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. They were struggling, and it's getting worse. And that may be you. You may say, you know what, this area that I'm struggling in, maybe my marriage, I'm reading books about it, I'm applying the stuff, and it keeps getting worse. Or my job, I'm doing everything they tell me to do, and I'm struggling, and I'm working extra, and I'm still going to get laid off or get a pay cut or whatever it is. We're sinking when we're struggling, and it's getting worse. So the question then becomes that we're going to spend the rest of the time on, what is God doing and what does God want me to do? What is God doing? And in this case, what is Jesus doing? And what am I supposed to do? Because what happens is when we sink, we mentioned this earlier, when we start sinking, we feel like God isn't in that. Jesus can't be involved in this thing that's getting worse because I'm trying to do it and it's getting worse. If Jesus was in it, it would be easy. Anybody ever felt that way? I mean, I do all the time. How come this isn't getting better when I'm obeying you? Because we kind of feel like, that's not biblical, by the way. That's very American, though. I worked hard. I deserve to get good stuff. But we feel that way when we're sinking. If God was in this, it wouldn't happen, and it's not true. We think God has forgotten us when we're sinking, and it's not true. So I want to start off by just looking at four things that Jesus is doing in every situation when you feel like you're sinking. When you feel like you're going under, when you feel like I can't keep up anymore, they're all in this the story that we have. Four things that Jesus is doing every time. Not sometimes. Every time you're sinking, Jesus is doing these four things. These are all blanks. First one, Jesus prays for me before it happens. In all these stories, Jesus feeds the 5,000, he sends them off, then he goes and he prays, and he's praying for them while they're out there. He told them, get in the boat, go on the lake, go up to Bethsaida. He knew what was going to happen. Go up ahead and do it. And he goes off and prays for them. Like I said earlier, sometimes disobedience causes our storms. Sometimes we are in storms and we're sinking because we deliberately disobey God, or we make dumb decisions that people warned us not to do, or we just choose to do something and it creates a storm for us, and that doesn't mean God's not going to help us out of it, but sometimes that happens. But sometimes, like these guys, we obey God, we do what we're supposed to do, and we're still sinking in a storm. Now, you know this, most of it at least. Sometimes when we're in a storm, we know why, what the purpose of it is. We know what we're supposed to learn from it. Right? Anybody ever been in something and went, I know this is what I need to learn? Sometimes, just in retrospect, after it happens, you go back, you look back and go, oh, okay, that's what that was about. But sometimes, it never makes sense. There are some things that happen in our lives. There's some storms in your life, some sinking times in your life that you're not going to understand until you get to heaven. And God doesn't owe us an explanation for every storm in our life, as much as we would like one. But Jesus prays for us when we're in it, whether we understand it or not. In the Old Testament, there's a story, an entire book about a guy named Job. Job was this wealthy, God-fearing, right-living guy who, through circumstances he could never really understand, lost everything. Lost his family, lost his health, lost his entire fortune, lost it all. And in chapter 19, verse 8, he says, God has blocked my way and plunged my path into darkness. He's just being honest, how he feels like God has blocked my... You may feel that way. I was going to be doing this. I was going to be doing this good thing, and God, I don't know why God has blocked my way. He's plunged my path into darkness. I was going to have kids, and I can't. I was going to be married, and I can't. Or I was hoping to not be married, and somehow I found myself married. Or... I had this dream that I was going to pursue, and I can't, it's not happening. And we're talking about this in our small groups, but you may feel that way. Jesus knows what's going to happen to you before it happens, and Jesus, the Bible tells us, prays for us before it happens. Jesus is praying for us before it happens. You know, you think, fast forward a few years in Jesus' life, and it's the night he gets arrested, and he's going to be crucified the next day. And he's got the disciples together. This is in Luke chapter 22. He's got the disciples together, and he's kind of telling them what's going on, and they don't really get it. And Peter, when he realizes it, Peter, one of the disciples who we're going to read about in a little bit, Peter says, I'll die for you. I will die before I let anything happen to you. And Jesus, knowing what's going to happen, says, Peter, before the morning comes, you're going to deny that you even know me three times to people just to save your own skin. But then he says, but Peter, and this is crucial because this is what he's talking about. Peter, I've already prayed for you so that ultimately when the disciples all come back together, you take the leadership position. I know what's going to happen. I know you're going to sink. I've already prayed for you so that when you come back together, you will be the leader that God wants you to be. Jesus knows what's going to happen in your life in 2011 and 2012 and beyond. He knows the stuff that's going to go on, and he's already prayed for you about it. Romans 8:34 tells us Jesus' role right now. It says, Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. That's not all he does, but, you know, it means a lot to me when I know somebody's praying for me, when I share a prayer request in my small group, and I know that those guys are praying for me and they ask me about it. That's really significant in my life. You know, if you know somebody's praying for you, listen, that's important. Jesus is praying for you. As you're sinking, Jesus has already prayed for you and is praying for you as you go through. Now, how that all works, we can talk about that some other time. But Jesus is praying for you. When you're starting to sink, when you're in a storm, the first thing to know is Jesus is praying for you. The second thing that we get from this story, Jesus notices my struggle. Look in Mark again. Verse 48, it says, it's the middle of the night. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Jesus knows that you're struggling and straining. We forget sometimes, that God pays attention to everything. God knows that you have a headache if you do right now, or that you're worried, this thing you're worried about, or that conversation, or that phone call you got that's kind of nagging at you, or that situation at your job that you're thinking, I got to resolve that, or is that going to get worse? He knows that. That health problem that is bugging you and that you're kind of struggling with it, maybe you haven't even told anybody else. Jesus already notices you're struggling. He knew that these guys were straining on the boat and or straining to try to row, and he saw it. And Hebrews 4:15 tells us, not only does he see it, but he sympathizes with it because he came as a person and experienced all this stuff. Jesus came and experienced what it's like to be rejected, or what it's like to have to kind of worry about something, experience physical pain, all the things that we do. And the Bible tells us he's already been there. And this story tells us when you're sinking, I'm sinking in whatever area. I don't know what I'm going to do with my money. I don't know what's going to happen with my health. I don't know what's going to happen with my kids. It just keeps getting worse. Something's going on. Jesus notices that you're struggling. He's praying for you. He notices that you're struggling. The third thing that he's doing, because these all kind of build on each other, he comes at your moment of desperation. Jesus comes at my moment of desperation. The time we want to give up is when he comes. Now, wouldn't it be nice if he always came right at the start, the first time that we noticed we were in trouble? I mean, that's kind of what we want, right? Man, this probably, why didn't, but most of our experiences, that usually doesn't happen. Or if it does, we don't even notice it, so we kind of forget about it. But usually he comes at our moment of desperation. Look at verse 48. Again, he saw the disciples struggling at the oars. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. The fourth watch of the night. So they went out at about 6 o'clock probably, or maybe earlier, because he'd fed the 5,000, then he dismissed them. It was still light. It was the previous evening. He sent them out for a two-hour trip. Just go out. It'd be like, go out and drive up to Sacramento or Roseville or something. Just go, you know, just go a little bit. So 6 o'clock comes. They're out on the boat. Let's just say it was 6. It's 8 o'clock. They're supposed to be there. They're noticing they're not there yet. A storm's starting to brew. 10 o'clock, it's dark. A storm is blowing. Midnight, the storm is getting worse. It's pounding them. They're tired. They're thinking, shouldn't we have been there 4 hours ago? Who got the directions? 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Imagine that. There's not a motorboat. They're rowing. They're fighting to try to keep 2 o'clock. And they're thinking, why did Jesus send us out into this? Did anyone else notice he didn't get on the boat? You know, that's what they're... So... They're wondering, how long is it going to take? Think of that. It's 9 hours before he comes out there. 9 hours of them rowing and straining. All along the way, they were probably thinking, where is he? Why can't he come here? Maybe he'll come out on another boat and help us. All that time, he comes out at the very end when they're exhausted. You know, you may be there. This isn't where I was scheduled to be, you're thinking. This is not where my schedule had me being. I was supposed to already be somewhere by now. I was already supposed to be at this point in my life. I was already supposed to be this point financially. I was already supposed to be this point in my career. I was already supposed to be this point in relationships with other people. I was already supposed to be this point in my health. I was wherever it is, and we're thinking, it's not only am I not getting there, we're like the disciples, it's getting wilder and weirder as it goes along. The storm is getting worse. I was supposed to be out of the storm and in shelter by now, and not only am I not out of the storm's getting worse. And what does Jesus do? Jesus went out to them. He went out. He didn't stand on the beach and yell out directions. He went out to them. And that's really what the gospel, the story of Jesus, is about. That God doesn't wait for us to come to shore and get all fixed. He comes out to us where we're messed up. These guys are messed up. And how did he come out to them? He came out walking on top of the water. The problem, that they weren't afraid of the winds. They wouldn't have been afraid of the winds if they were on the shore, right? They were afraid of the water. The water is what could sink them. And Jesus came out walking on top of the very problem they were facing. That's going to happen in our lives when we're sinking. Jesus is going to come to us when we need it the most and when we're at the end, not at the beginning. When you're sinking, he's going to come at the end, and he's going to come usually walking on the very problem that is facing you. How that works out, it's different for different people. But he comes out walking on the problem because he's bigger than that problem. And he comes out when he comes out and walks on that problem, he shows that he's God. And that's the fourth thing that we get. Jesus always is praying for us. He notices that we're struggling. He's going to come, but he's going to come at the ninth hour. And why do I know he's going to come? Because he said he's going to come. But when's he going to come? He's coming at the ninth hour. He's not coming before that usually. And then he shows me his true identity, number four. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a good man. He's not just somebody who was a fictional character a long time ago in an old book. He's not just some kind of bearded, distant guy. Jesus shows, when we're sinking, who he really is, that he's God, that he's the creator. And he comes out in verse 49 and 50. When they saw him walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost, which is what we would all think probably, right? They cried out because they all saw him and they were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and he said three things. Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. He gives them reassurance. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. I'm God. We're going to talk about that in a second. And then he gives them a challenge. When he says it is I, and I want to just go into this just for a second. He said, and to first century Jews, this is incredibly significant. He said, I am. Okay? Now, that is the term in the Old Testament story when we learn about God, when God first revealed himself to Moses, and Moses said, who am I supposed to tell people I was talking to? And God said, and it carries more, not so much in English, but in Hebrew and then even in Greek, I am. Not I was, not I will be, not that I might be. I am. I am powerful. I am capable. I am everything. And Jesus said those words. So he wasn't just saying, hey, it's me, Jesus. He said, I am. It's me. I am God. And Jesus used that throughout the New Testament when he says, I am the vine. When he says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. He uses that term, meaning where people knew that he wasn't just saying, I'm a vine. I am God. I am the vine. So Jesus, when he comes in, reveals who he is. And when we're sinking, Jesus reveals who he is, which makes all the difference in the world. And you're in a storm. Might be an economic storm, might be a relationship wreck that you're in. It might be a career problem. It might be, here's the deal, you don't need a better spouse or a better job. What we need in those situations, we need a savior. That's what Jesus is revealing himself as. I'm bigger than that. Don't worry about the problem. Don't worry about the storm. You don't need a motor on your boat. you need me on your boat, right? And he's saying, I'm not this distant, uninvolved God. I want to be part of your, I'm praying for you. I see that you're struggling. I'm going to come to you in the ninth hour, but I'm also going to reveal who I really am. And those are things that Jesus is doing when you're sinking. And whatever it is in your life that you're sinking in, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus notices that you're struggling. Jesus is going to come, but he's going to come late. Or not late, just on time, really. And then he's going to reveal who he really is. So then what are we supposed to do? These are the rest of the blanks that we're going to talk about. What do we do? Jesus is doing those things. He's not uninvolved when we're sinking. What's Jesus doing? That's what Jesus is doing. Here's the five things that we need to be doing. One, what do I need to do? I need to have courage because Jesus will be with me. Because I know all that stuff we just talked about. That's the starting point as we battle and we're dealing with sinking, is to move ahead despite fear. Because courage, you know what? Courage isn't a lack of fear. You realize that? Courage is going ahead when you're scared, right? It's not an absence of fear. That's insanity, okay? People who are never scared aren't courageous. They're stupid, okay? Courage is being afraid and going ahead. And I can go ahead. I have courage. Parents, here's one of the best things that we can do. We can model courage to our kids. Not by acting like there's no problems, but by acknowledging there's problems and saying, I believe God's bigger than this and God's going to see us through it. If you want to model courage and faith to your kids, let them know that you feel kind of like you're sinking, but that you know that God is bigger than that problem and that you're not going to sink because Jesus is on your side. Right? So we can have courage because Jesus is with me. That's the first thing when you're sinking. The very first thing to do. I realize Jesus is with me, I have courage. The second thing is to take a risk in faith. And let's look at in Matthew, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 14 is where we're going to spend the rest of this time. This is Matthew's version, which contains something that isn't in the Mark and John versions of Jesus walking on the water. It's Peter walking on the water. Okay, the only guy other than Jesus who walked on water, we see Peter doing it in Matthew's story. And when we're scared the most, when we're sinking the most, sometimes we need to take the risk the most, the right faith risk. Look at Matthew 14, verse 28. We'll start with verse 27. Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid." Remember we said that? "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Okay? First, check out what did Peter do first. If it's you, I want to make sure this isn't something that I'm just seeing. It's not just some, you know, the storm created some. If it's you, it's okay to do that. It's okay. Now, I really think it's, sometimes we take this to an extreme where we say, God, if you really want me to tithe, make every light turn green for the next week. You know, we set up this impossible situation. If you really want me to, you know, obey you in this area, we do that on things that it's like, well, he really does want you because it says in the Bible. But sometimes it's okay when it's to take that step of faith to go, Lord, if this is you, I need some evidence. So Peter said, if it's you, and then what did he do? Jesus said, come. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Can you imagine that? Peter gets out of the boat because he said, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. Faith, we've been talking about this whole time. Faith pleases God. When we take a leap of faith, that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Peter realized something that was so true, that it was safer in the water with Jesus than in the boat without him. Right? It's safer to be in the middle of the waves with Jesus than outside without him. So where do you need to get out of the boat? Is it, I know I should tithe, but I can't figure out how to do it. I can't. It doesn't add up. Is it that? Is it, I know I'm supposed to share my faith with my coworkers, but I don't want them to think I'm weird, and I don't want to do that. Is it, I know I need to get involved in doing some sort of ministry affecting other people, whether it's at New Life or in the community or whatever, but I'm just too big, I don't have time to do it, and I'm incapable of doing it. Whatever it is, maybe it's, I need to forgive that person, but for what they did to me, and I don't think I can do that. We need to take a risk and take a risk in faith. So that's the second thing. The third thing we need to do, continuing this story, stay focused on Jesus. So Peter gets out of the boat, walks on the water, and then verse 30, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." So he looks around. What happened? Did anything happen in the story? Did anything change in the story? All that changed for Peter was what he was looking at, right? Jesus didn't make him sink. Peter just all of a sudden looked around and started sinking. If you look around when you're sinking and you take your eyes off Jesus, you'll get scared and you'll get depressed and you'll come up with all kinds of reasons why you're going to keep sinking. Who knows if people in the back of the boat, you know, the other disciples went, "Peter, what are you doing, man? You can't walk on water. You're going to sink. You don't have on your life jacket," which hasn't been invented yet. So they didn't, who knows? We don't know what happened, but we know he took his eyes off Jesus. If we take our eyes off and try to figure everything out when we're taking that step of faith, we'll usually start sinking again. So stay focused on Jesus. Number four, don't doubt. Verse 31, Jesus said, he reached out his hand and caught him, said to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Does that sound like he's insulting Peter to you? It does in a way, but he said, "You of little faith," because Peter had a little faith, right? He had a little faith. The guys that had no faith were back in the boat, right? Or back on the shore, hadn't even got in the boat. So he said, and the point he's making to Peter is, you don't have to have a, Peter had a little faith, and what did he do? He walked on water. So it's not having, we sometimes think, oh, you have to have so much faith to do something. You don't have to have so much faith to do something. If you have a little faith in a big God, you can still do those things, because God's the one who's doing the stuff. Jesus is the one who's making him walk on water. And faith is something that we do. We all exercise faith all the time, right? You really, whether even if you're not a believer, you exercise faith. When you drove here, you had faith that those other cars weren't going to steer into you. When you came and you got coffee when you walked in, you had faith that it wasn't poisoned. Now you're spitting out your coffee all over the thing. Here's a great one that anybody who works does. When you work, you have faith that they're going to pay you at the end, because they pay you after you've worked. Right? You don't get your check first. You learn that on your first job. When do they pay me? After you've worked 2 weeks. Okay? How am I supposed to pay for gas to get here? You know, borrow from your parents. So faith is something that we do. And Jesus said to Peter, "Hey, you have little faith. Why'd you doubt?" So don't doubt. And then fifth, praise God. Because you look at the end of the story, when they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You can praise God even in the storm. Here's something to praise God for when you're sinking. Even if you're not seeing, even if you haven't started walking on water yet, you can praise God for the fact that Jesus is praying for you, that he sees your struggle, that he's going to come, and then he's going to reveal that he's God. I know you're going to do those things even though I don't feel them right now. I know that you're praying for me even though I feel like I'm alone. I know that you're going to come even though I don't see you yet. You can praise God for that anyway. And when we're sinking, and you know what? We're all going to have areas in our lives that we're going to sink at different points in our lives. I'm not sure there's ever going to come a point where there's not going to be some things in my life where I feel like it's starting to sink. Now, there's going to be seasons when it's worse. There's going to be times that we cause it to be worse. But there's also going to just be, there's going to be mega storms in your life where you're going to feel like, I'm bailing and I'm trying to get out and it's not working. Jesus sent these guys into this storm. And 9 hours later, they're still struggling, still trying to figure out how to get out of the storm when he came to them walking on water. And he said in Mark 6, verse 52, the end of that other, the Mark version, and it says, they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened. What didn't they understand? They didn't understand about the loaves. The story of the loaves, here's the point that Jesus wanted them to understand, the same point that he did when he was feeding the 5,000 when he walked on the water. Here's what they didn't understand. All you need is Jesus when you're in that problem. Doesn't matter there's 5,000 people who need to eat. Doesn't matter that you're in a boat that's in big waves. All you need is, that's the lesson that he wanted them to learn. He did this miracle only for those disciples to let them know, I'm all you need. You don't need the other stuff. I am all that you need. So what storm is scaring you now? What storm is making you sink now? Here's what you can learn. Jesus is all that you need. He's praying for you. He'll come. Not in the second hour, usually. Not in the sixth hour, usually. Usually in the ninth hour. But he's going to come and he's going to reveal who he is. But we need to learn to trust him. And that's how we grow. And I just want to close by praying for a couple of groups. One is, this is a story. Jesus is coming to save you if you have decided to follow him. He did this for the disciples. He didn't do it for the people who just ate and didn't have anything else to do with it. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I just want to encourage you, maybe today's the day to do that, to say, you know what, and you don't have to know everything, you don't have to understand, you don't have to have a deep theological understanding. Sometimes all it needs is to realize, man, I'm sinking, and I need a Savior. I don't need my circumstances to change. I need a Savior. And Jesus came, lived, taught, lived a perfect life, died, was resurrected so that we could have a right relationship with God. And that might be where you are. So I'm going to pray with you. But also, you might be a believer who says, you know what, I'm sinking, and I just need to hold on to Jesus. I need to recognize that I don't need all those other things. I need to praise him in that. I need to maybe take a step of faith. So I just want to pray for those two groups of you. And let's pray right now. Just to close. If you're sinking, Jesus had a great lesson for us to learn, that he's really all that we need. So let's pray.